Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go out to Indianapolis. Kevin Bowen, he covers the Colts out there for 1070. Kevin, we're going to jump right into it. We're not going to waste your time. We always appreciate you coming on, giving us insight heading into Texans versus Colts games. Tomorrow, Thursday night, big game, first-place Colts versus second-place Texans. Is T.Y. Hilton playing or not?
I differ with my colleagues. I think many of my colleagues actually think that he will play. I'm going just slightly less than 50% chance that he plays. I don't want to make too much out of what a walkthrough estimation injury report looks like on a Thursday week, but it's supposed to be an estimation of what he would do in practice.
Right.
He's been a DNP the last 2 days, so you're telling me that a guy that's missed practice now for 3 straight weeks would go play, in 24 hours?
Kevin, we feel like he could get out of a hospital bed and go out there and get put 100 on the Texans, though,
Yeah, I was going to say, if he just gave birth, he'd probably come out there and still had 100. And when I watch him walk or, hear him talk, both those things, I think there's a lot of signs that point to him playing. He mentioned yesterday 2 more boxes that need to be checked. That's medical, doctor clearance, and that's Frank Reich and Chris Ballard clearance as well. And he always would throw in the caveat of all those boxes have to be checked. Like, even if 3 of the 4 are checked, I still am not playing. So I think it's about as close to a coin flip sort of situation as you can get. Maybe he tests it out pregame and gives it a go, but if you're going to make me choose, I'll say slightly less than 50% chance he plays.
Well, there's another receiver that equally has been nowhere this season for the Colts, but he could be a big difference, and that's Devin Funchess. What are you hearing there?
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if he played. Broke his collarbone in week 1, similar to Nick Foles, but has not made it back to games yet. He was eligible to play against Jacksonville last Sunday, didn't play. Last week was the first time he practiced all week, and he was in a non-contact jersey. And, when you ask guys in the locker room, okay, what hurdles need to be cleared for you to play? His response was, my bone needs to heal. And he was very defiant with that. So that kind of told me, there's a little bit – that's a big hurdle that honestly needs to be cleared. This isn't a muscle injury where he can just play at 90%. Obviously, no practice this week for him, so – that's why I'm leaning towards no on Devin Funchess, because he hasn't played in 2.5 months.
Talking to Kevin Bowen one night before the Texans faced the Colts. So he says about 50% on T.Y. Hilton, no-go for Funchess if he had to guess. What about the man who's going to be carrying the rock? Because we see Marlon Mack have his way with the Texans recently. Jonathan Williams came in and actually did his thing, over 100 yards on Sunday. Also, Jordan Wilkins. There's a lot of guys. Who are we going to see carrying the load for the Colts in regards to the run game tomorrow?
Well, definitely no Marlon Mack. He's going to miss some time with that fractured hand. Nyheim Hines, I think they're going to stick in that kind of third down sort of hybrid wideout running back role. I don't think they want to deviate too much from kind of his specialty. I tend to think you kind of ride the hot hand and go with Jonathan Williams. Ironically enough, some people in your area might recall his last start was in NRG Stadium in the Texas Bowl back in, I think it was 2014 for Arkansas. Ran for over 100 yards. Hasn't started, obviously, in his NFL career. And Jordan Wilkins, I expect to play. Had an ankle injury, didn't play on Sunday. I do think he'll play. He has some experience starting, but, you just ran for over 200 yards, and Jonathan Williams had over 100, 4 days ago. Why not kind of stick with that? So if I had a guess, which, obviously fantasy owners have been knocking on my door trying to figure it out, Williams in the 12 to 15 carry range, Hines gets a few carries and just is on the field a good amount when you pass it. And then maybe Jordan Wilkins gets, around 6 or 8 carries. It's kind of the breakdown that I see. And, similar to kind of a popular theme in Indy that we've talked about a lot, over the past couple decades, Peyton Manning took a lot of average receivers and made them look really good. can this Colts offensive line take, you know, unproven running backs, for a nicer way to put it? Can that offensive line take them and turn them into, you know, 100-yard backs?
What about Jacoby Brissett? I know he's played now, but, you know, he just kind of owns the Texans. What has he said about that and just facing a Texan secondary that has its own injury problems?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating storyline to see how the Colts want to attack the Texans. You know, it is weird that Jacoby's four wins. He's 4-0 against Houston. He's faced a different starting quarterback every time. Deshaun Watson will be the first time that he's seen the same quarterback twice. And I know it's been a debate that we've kind of had here locally of like, okay, no J.J. Watt, been over 6 yards per carry teams have had against the Texans the last couple weeks. Wouldn't you want to pound it if you're the Colts? And then vice versa, it's you see the injuries in the secondary. If Watt can't help out some of that pass rush, you know, does that mean that maybe if T.Y. Hilton gives it a go, do you want to test out, you know, a banged-up secondary, which you had a lot of success against, you know, back in week 7? So I tend to side with you still want to pound it because, you know, Frank Reich said yesterday, you know, any trends that you see on a Thursday night, you know, it's a question I asked Frank, and he was like, I think what you see is a lot of offenses going back to their basics, their fundamentals, keep it simple. What do you do well? And for the Colts, that's really running the football. I know they didn't run it well at all back in week 7, but, you know, I don't need to tell you guys how much J.J. Watt means. So I tend to kind of side with that will be the plan of attack. But I don't know. You know, if Hilton plays and the injuries are as bad as it looks like it could be in that Houston secondary, maybe you do try and air it out a little bit more.
Talking to Kevin Bowen, 1070 The Fan, he covers the Colts. I kind of had like a real weird escape from reality. It was like a week vacation in that – I've feared the Colts since Frank Reich has been there. He's obviously beaten Bill O'Brien 3 out of 4 times. But at one point, when Brissett sprains his MCL, and then it looks like T.Y. Hilton's not going to play, I don't want to say I chalked this up as a win, but I sat there and I said, you know what, this is going to be easier than it usually is. But then all of a sudden, it looks like T.Y. might play. The Colts still continue to run the rock. They dominate Jacksonville. Jacoby gets back on the field. And I'm starting to have that uneasy feeling in my stomach right now. What's the confidence level? You have a pulse of the fans out there. What is the confidence level of the Indianapolis Colts and their fans heading into this game, the fifth meeting between Frank Reich and Bill O'Brien tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's a lot of good points. You know, I would say a week ago, it was pretty close to DEFCON in this market of like, you just lost to the Dolphins. You know, How in the world does that happen at home? But beating Jacksonville and the way you beat Jacksonville, I think has changed a lot of people's thinking. And you look at the injuries for Houston with Watt and, of course, in the secondary, and you're right. I mean, I think locally people feel like, you know, T.Y. Hilton is kind of the Texans' daddy, you know, to be frank. And the Colts have owned Houston now in the last 3 meetings and been pretty convincing. And I think the manner that they've won some of those games. Now, I know back in week 7 it was a very close game, and, you know, Houston just really – just kind of pissed down their leg in the red zone, or else they easily could have won that game. But I think just the mantra last year of winning it, you know, down there, 2 meetings, especially against such a stout rushing defense, I think that sent a message, at least for Colts fans, that are like, okay, you know, still feel like with Frank Reich, they have the upper hand over Houston. Now, having said all that, it's incredible when you look at the deeper analytics of how much this game means for the rest of the season.
Right.
You know, I was looking at a playoff site the other day. Basically, if the Colts win, they would have like an 83% chance to make the playoffs. If they lose, that drops to 35%. I mean, that's just an astronomical number in week 13 or week 12, whatever week it is. Like, it's not like this is, you know, 2 games to go in the regular season. There's still 5 games to go after this, but you know, we know full well that the AFC South is going to go through one of these 2 teams in all likelihood, and the tiebreakers outside of head-to-head, it really benefits Houston. So I think that's where the Colts fans have some nerves. It's like, you hate playing on the road on Thursday Night Football, and if you lose this game, now it's going to be so tough to win the division. What gives them hope is, I think, what they've done recently against Houston and the fact that, you know, there are some really, really key injuries for the Texans.
Is everybody sleeping on the Titans here? Texans play them twice after this, and the Colts play them once.
It's a great question. And again, maybe I'm kind of looking through different colored glasses because the Colts have absolutely dominated the Tennessee Titans over the past decade plus. and, you know, one there earlier this season. But, I mean, clearly they found something with Ryan Tannehill under center. And when you think about the health of these three teams in the division, you could probably rule out Jacksonville. Tennessee's probably the healthiest.
Mm-hmm.
So they are sitting there at 5-5. They don't have a great sort of tiebreaker situation right now. Like you said, you know, the Texans face them twice in the last 3 weeks. The Colts will see them next Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. They are lurking, but I still think, you know, Watson's the best player in the division, in my opinion, and the Colts are probably the most well-rounded team. So I still think it's going to go through either Houston or Indianapolis.
We're guilty, and we're talking to Kevin Bowen at 1070. The Fan covers the Colts. We're guilty of, you know, focusing on the offensive side of the ball a lot. But what about on the defensive side of the ball? What kind of defense are the Colts bringing to NRG tomorrow night? A defense that's really kept Watson in check, especially in the last three games. In comparison to what we saw earlier in the season, I know they were a little bit banged up. What about on the defensive side of the ball? What are the Colts bringing on Thursday?
You know, it was kind of funny. Yesterday, Frank Reich in his press conference, just out of the blue, was like, our defense is legit. Like, they're playing as well as any other defense in the league. And it was a rare moment from Frank Reich that you were kind of like, whoa, you know, like, I wish this coach would talk like that a little bit more often. Not a lot of coach speak coming out of him. But, you know, when you look at the numbers, there's a lot of reasoning behind that. Now, if you look at the four quarterbacks they've played since Deshaun Watson, I don't think you'll find many jerseys in stadiums with those quarterbacks on them. So they are pretty healthy outside of Pierre Desir. He's the big injury to Watt and Rocky Sin, I should mention, another corner. Pierre Desir has done a nice job against DeAndre Hopkins in past meetings, which, again, is not something that you typically say. And I know Hopkins got his back in Week 7, but Desir in a shadow role, it allowed the Colts, I think, to commit other resources to trying to neutralize Watson, and they did a nice job of that. And they do have Kenny Moore and Malik Hooker back, didn't play in the first meeting. Those two guys are really, really key for the Colts. But like I said earlier, you know, the Texans moved the ball in that first meeting. I think we all remember kind of the flukish Watson being blown dead on a possible touchdown in the red zone. That play could have gone either way. Houston was 2-5 in the red zone that game. That's the number one red zone offense in the league coming into that point. And the Colts are 4-4. So I think when I look at this game and you break down the four units, it seems to me that Houston's offense is probably the healthiest unit if you look at the Colts offense, defense, and then Houston's offense and defense as well. So my question would be, you know, can the Colts continue to play good situationally? Because that's what they've done. They've given up some yardage, but they've been outstanding inside the red zone. If they can hold up again, I think it'll be a really, really good game and down to the wire. If not, then I think the Texans will pull this one out.
All right, Kevin. Kevin, we always appreciate it. Kevin Bowen, 1070, The Fan, giving us a perspective of the Indianapolis Colts heading into tomorrow's game. I appreciate you as always, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, always enjoy hopping on, guys.
All right, thank you very much. Kevin Bowen, 1070, The Fan. I'm telling you, man, that defense, people might be sleeping on it.
It's going to be fun, man, just watching. It's a good time to mention also that this is a Thursday night game in Houston, not far, I mean, in one of the highest traffic areas in town. So we've been communicating and listening, hearing from the Texans, and they really, really are encouraging people to get there early and account for things, because it's your regular traffic, it's your football traffic. Just want to let people know that. There's also an app It's a Texans app, but you go to @sportsradio610.com on Twitter, and we have the link @sportsradio610.com or @sportsradio610 on Twitter. And apparently it's going to be pretty cool. They're going to have a pregame light show during team introductions. So if you're going to the game, I want to make sure people,
you got to be in your seat by 6:50 to participate in the light show. You download the app.
Yeah.
You're a part of the light show. So get in your seats.
And in order to get there by 6:50, you better leave a lot earlier than usual.
I'll tell you what. I tell everybody, the tailgate scene out there is worth it. Yeah. Someone will welcome you. If you don't know anyone out there tailgating, enough said tailgaters, the more the merrier. I can 100% guarantee you I'll be out there. But get there early, participate in the light show, download the app, go to @SportsRadio610 on Twitter or sportsradio610.com. Get there early. Let's avoid the traffic, and let's fill up the stadium before the ball game. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Kevin Bowen, giving us a little perspective of those Indianapolis Colts heading into the big game tomorrow. Thursday Night Football facts for you coming up next. And what is the best way to celebrate a three-day weekend? We will discuss next. Can I interest you in some nuggets?
Yeah, interesting me.
What are your favorite kind of nuggets? Sean Pendergast, how you doing, man?
Hey.
Hey, howdy, fellas.
What are you doing? What are you doing, man?
I'm waiting for our Thanksgiving potluck.
You know what?
Dinner.
I've heard, for some reason, I just have an uncanny, like, ability. J-Lo, you've praised me for this before. Mm-hmm. But when people are talking about me, like, around the office or saying stuff, mm-hmm. for some reason, it always just gets back to me. So, like, people talk about me, and they think they're, like, talking in, like, confidence and, like, saying stuff, but then just always gets back to me. I don't know how. I think I'm just that likable
of a
guy.
Apparently.
I am the butt of a lot of jokes.
Really? Yeah, you are.
Because I did not know about this Thanksgiving potluck. First of all, I've been sick the last 5 days. Second of all, I can't find this email for anything, Sean. Mm-hmm. I have the December 12th. I know we got a tacky Christmas sweater thing. I got that on there. You see? Yeah.
You going?
I've already got my sweater.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I've already got my sweater. I am going to bringing my sweater to the party, Figgy. Figgy, I know you're proud of me for that. Yeah. Yes. I had no idea about this Thanksgiving thing.
Really? Because it was a distribution email. It's not like they put each
Lopez
person individually.
No, I got it, but I just can't find it right now. Yeah. I do remember getting it.
Yeah.
So nuggets?
Yeah, nuggets. Nuggets. What are the best kind of nuggets? Who has the best nuggets?
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when there is an event, there's a nugget tray, right, John?
Yeah.
There's got to be a nugget tray. That's the guy that just mails it
if
in.
If there's a nugget tray here, do you want me to bring you guys some nuggets?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
You've been a little sketchy about wanting me to bring the plate.
I want turkey and ham.
Okay.
No, I would love a plate.
No, you don't need to bring it.
Really. I would love a plate, but I just don't want it to become like a, because apparently it's like, funny that I didn't know this. Yeah. I don't want it to become like, oh, you can eat, but you can't for you. You can't even eat. Like, no, I didn't get the email. Like, I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was leaning. You know, because I was sipping syrup all weekend. Mm-hmm. So maybe I was high. This weekend.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't get it. But I just didn't get it.
We're seeing pink elephants, as they say.
There you go.
Pink elephants, purple elephants.
You brought a hell of a dish, by the way.
The cherry pineapple crunchy thing?
Yeah, crunch or cobbler or something.
Cobbler-ish type thing. Amy made it, full disclosure. Mm-hmm. She was disgusted with me that I was going to go to the grocery store between my show and the potluck to just go buy a couple of pies at the bakery at
Kroger.
You see
what Jonesy brought?
Yes, it was the most Jonesy thing ever.
10 mini cupcakes from Kroger.
Right, like with the price tag still on them.
It was like 98 cents.
If there are,
I would rather Landry not bring anything.
Yeah.
Than Jonesy bring 10 mini cupcakes from Kroger.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. I was at least gonna get like a couple of pies. Yeah. Jonesy's thing barely feeds Jonesy. it was ridiculous.
I said, "What are you bringing?" He goes, "This." I was like,
It's a little plastic thing with 12 mini cupcakes. There's going to be like 50 people at this potluck lunch.
I've been in the same fantasy draft for 10 years, and we always bring in as much as we can. One time, this guy in the league, he forgot to bring something. It's like, just show up empty-handed. This jamoke stops at the 7-Eleven or something like that and gets some Frito scoops and some of that bean dip. And it's just like, dude, just don't bring anything, man. Like, you really don't need to bring anything.
Yeah.
Is there anything worse than who gets the bean dip at 7-Eleven? When's the last time you went at 7-Eleven or the gas station? They don't have 7-Elevens here. Let's say, go to the gas station. If
Valero.
Who's getting the bean dip, man?
Well, the bean dip, if it's Valero branded bean dip, I'm not buying it. But if it's Frito-Lay or whatever, you know, it's...
When's the last time you bought bean dip?
I'm not a big bean dip fan, if you want to know the truth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm more of a salsa guy.
Salsa or queso? Yeah. I'm salsa all day.
I like them both. Yeah.
I like them both. I like the old 7-layer, man. That's strong.
Oh, yeah.
7-layer is pretty strong.
Yeah.
John,
that's pretty good.
Okay.
7-layer is pretty strong. Okay,
is that bougie? Is that considered bougie?
No, it's not.
He just always has to one-up it.
I said I like... How is that one up?
Story topper.
What's the best fast food cheeseburger? Well, Sean and me are talking about Wendy's, Burger King, Whataburger, all that stuff. You know what?
Bex Prime. Hey, Fleming's has a great cheeseburger.
If you ever go to B&B and you don't feel like eating
I just drive across town and get one from my special place.
We need to go back for another club sandwich.
I'm
Landry.
Telling you, bro. I'm down with that.
That was good stuff.
Down with that anytime. You know, Texas versus Baylor. Not this weekend, though. I got a lock myself in a room and watch that one.
You don't want to put a little sandwich bet.
He just said yesterday
that Texas doesn't need Sam Ehlinger to beat Baylor.
I was obviously joking.
Can I ask you something about Sam Ehlinger? Because I've seen your takes on Twitter about how they're using him.
Yeah.
How else would you use Sam Ehlinger? Like, you're not going to drop him back in the pocket and have him throw 40 times a game.
Well, I mean, I would still use him that way, but I think that you do have...
Overdoing it?
Well, I mean, you do have a... your best running back right now is a quarterback.
That's true.
So if you... And he's been running the ball very well. So if you don't want a quarterback to have to wear a neck roll because he's getting his ass whooped so bad, maybe you could line that guy up in the Wildcat every once in a while and let him do what Sam's doing.
So you're not saying necessarily use him differently, just don't do that as much.
Yeah, so you can do it often, but I mean, when it's third and one and you got 240 pounders basically sprinting full speed at him, it would probably, you got a guy who is a running back that plays quarterback that you can do that with, and he's more fit to be able to do it. I would do that, but I'm not Tom Herman, you know.
I got you.
You know what it is.
Yeah.
You know what
That's
it is.
That's not any of my business.
And I'm sipping the Kermit
the iced tea right now. Yeah.
Or whatever, Sean. Yeah, hey, but the plate, that would be nice. That would be
nice. Yeah, I'll bring you guys something. Yeah,
you better get one of those mini cupcakes.
John's getting all jerky with me about wanting me to send somebody to bring, like, he don't want me bringing it. He wants somebody different bringing him the plate of
food. Yes, I do.
That's all I'm going to leave it.
What is that about? What's wrong with you?
That's all I got to say about
that.
That's all you got to say.
I know what's wrong with you, OG. Sean, you're a great teammate. Appreciate you, man. Bye, very much appreciated. Sean Pendergast, 6 to 10, Sports Radio 610. Payne and Pendergast. The reason Nuggets even came up is because I got some Thursday night football nuggets.
Yeah, you do.
Some Thursday night football nuggets. By the way, loopholes, when I mention nuggets, I'm not talking about what you guys are talking about. I know you are on those green nuggets, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about some Thursday night football nuggets. Mm-hmm. Could I interest you in the first 11 Thursday night football matchups, John Lopez?
Yeah, because there's a big theory out there for years and years and years. Road team gets beat. They never cover.
True. It hasn't happened necessarily this year, but we just got to look into this and figure out
why.
Week one, you had the Packers versus the Bears. Green Bay won that game 10-3.
That was in Chicago.
This was in Chicago. Why do you think the road team won this game? Probably because the Bears have been exposed as frauds, right? And not very good.
And it's week one.
I don't think this was necessarily because of the road team. I would say Chicago is a fraud. Week two, Buccaneers versus Panthers. The Buccaneers actually won this game in Carolina. Why would you say this is? I would say the reason would be because Cam Newton was basically playing on one leg. That would be my theory. I don't think he's played a football game since, so that would just be my theory. By the way, new Texan Vernon Hargraves with 12 tackles in that game.
How about that? And we're going to see him Thursday night because we just talked about
it. Would you agree with that theory?
100%. We knew that Cam Newton, we were talking before the season, he might not be ready, even by the time they play the Texans, and I believe that was week 4 or 5, somewhere in there. So, yeah, I absolutely buy into that.
Week 3, we had the Tennessee Titans at Jacksonville. Jacksonville actually won this game 20-7, so the home team ends up winning this. This was Gardner Minshew's actual first win, so there is the home team winning a game. We then go to week 4, Philadelphia at Green Bay. Eagles actually go on the road and won this game. This is probably the most impressive road win of Thursday night this year. Mm-hmm. This was the one where the Packers got into the red zone and they threw three or four times and ended up throwing an interception. There was a lot of controversy about whether or not they should have ran the ball more. So this was just a solid win by the Philadelphia Eagles on the road. Week 5, we have the Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle won this game 30-29, so there's another example of the home team holding serve. Week 6, the road team won, but tell me what you would make of this. The Patriots at the Giants.
I would make of it that it's the Giants.
Yeah, and it is the Patriots. Week 7, you had the Chiefs at Denver. The road team wins this one, but we both agree that the Chiefs are just significantly better.
The Broncos.
Yeah, they're just a lot better. Week 8, you had Washington at Minnesota. Minnesota holds serve here, so there's the home team winning again. Then you had the 49ers at Arizona against the Cardinals. This is another example of a road team winning, but we both agree San Francisco is superior to the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And then week 10, you had the Raiders hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. They actually won that game. So the home team holds serve there. And then you had Cleveland topping Pittsburgh last week. So the bottom line is this. Yes, there are.
And that was in Cleveland.
Yes, there are some road teams who have won games, but the reality of it is, more times than not, when all things are equal and it's equal teams, outside of the Philadelphia game, the better the team that's at home on Thursday night is going to win
I'll take it a step further.
Take it a step further, OG.
I think when the teams are evenly matched, the home team wins. Let's go through the ones that were clearly an overmatched team. All right, the overmatched teams in this: Cardinals lost. I'm going backwards. Redskins lost. Broncos lost. Giants lost. Most of the evenly matched games on Thursday night football, this is actually encouraging for the Texans, the home team wins. Even week one, which both of them were fresh, it's not like you had to travel on a short week, but the home team
the
lost.
Packers, yeah. Packers
so that,
won.
That, so week one would be
but
the
But I don't
exception.
Think the Packers and Bears are equal.
Yeah, that would be the exception.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I think we thought that at the start of the season, but I think it's kind of been exposed that the Packers and Bears aren't equal.
Yeah, so most, like, Jaguars and Titans are evenly matched, right? Jaguars won. They were at home. Eagles and Packers, was that in Green Bay?
That was in Green Bay. It was a big
one. So that's another
Eagles.
Exception there. But most of the ones that were pretty evenly matched, the home team does have an edge, or in this case, lost by just a point or two. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's something to keep an eye on, a little bit of Thursday football nuggets for you. Speaking of nuggets, by the way, the Houston Rockets are going to face the Denver Nuggets. We're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about Romeo Crennel. T.Y. Hilton, is he playing possum? Your defensive coordinator thinks so. The hit's next. All right, we're going to hear the most pathetic apology I've heard in a very long time. I think this is a low point for the NFL. This is a very low point in the NFL, and it involves that weasel Mason Rudolph, who should have been suspended for what happened last Thursday between the Browns and Steelers. Myles Garrett got what he deserved. Marquise Pouncey got what he deserved. Everybody else got what they deserved. Mason Rudolph did not. And after this apology, I wish all the bad things in life for him. No exception, John.
He's something.
He's a weasel.
He's something. A weasel's one he's way a to put it.
Yeah. First of all, he had to read the apology. Like, when is it appropriate to read an apology?
If you have like a government official, you know, that got caught in some scheme or scam or whatever. Or,
I did not have sexual relations.
Yeah,
with that woman.
Something like that. You know, I didn't do anything illegal in a foreign country. You know what I'm saying? So it's just something like that, but not like if you're sincere. You stand up there. The greatest apology explanation I've ever seen, ever, was Andy Pettit. When Andy Pettit was in the Mitchell Report, remember that? It was at spring training. They put up a tent for all the media that was there. He stood there. I think he actually did read a little bit, but then he stood there for 40 minutes answering questions. I mean, he did it, I think, but
he admitted it.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
What do you mean you think?
Well, I think. Yeah,
were you listening to it? If no, it was a great apology?
No, he did it, but the apology was like the best ever. He just stood there and said, whatever, guys, hit me. I'll answer your questions. You know, not like, now's not a good time to talk about that, or we'll address that at
another date. We'll release the statement
at another date.
I'll stand by the statement.
Yeah, it's not appropriate to talk about that now.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
No. So, but I think most apologies, you need to just stand there from your heart and just riff. You know what I mean?
We'll hear this apology in about 10 minutes. I'm telling you what.
Right.
What a total weasel Mason Rudolph is. Texans versus Colts tomorrow night. Colts return to the destination where they ended the Texans season last year. Indy's won 3 straight meetings against the Texans dating back to last season. A lot on the line, a lot of questions to be answered. Deshaun Watson faced the media and answered questions like Andy Pettit did that one day when the OG was covering the Astros. Here is Deshaun Watson on the magnitude of this game.
You know, it's a big game. I mean, it's a divisional game that's, you know, can be a big deciding point in the future, but focus on one drive, focus on one moment at a time. We can't look at it in that way and try to get carried away and, you know, try to put too much pressure on ourselves. We just got to go out there and play Texans football and take it one play at a time, one moment at a time, and play 60 minutes and see how the outcome comes.
You heard Kevin Bowen earlier today from 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. You can hear that on sportsradio610.com. The difference in the Colts making or missing the playoffs based on this game tomorrow night, if they make it, like it's in the 80s.
40 percentage points.
And if they miss it, it's in the 30s.
Yeah.
So it's between 40 and 50%.
Yeah.
That's big. That's a big game, John.
Really big. So now you're starting to buy into my because the same's true with the Colts, by the way.
Well, the Texans, I think, have more tiebreakers, right?
Yeah, but, well, they would if they win. If they lose, they don't. So I think it's the same situation for both the teams. Colts lose, I don't think they're making the playoffs. Texans lose, I don't think they're making the playoffs.
Deshaun Watson, you've had some success in primetime games. You're actually 4-2 in those things. How are you feeling about primetime?
For me, honestly, it's no difference. I treat every game the same regardless if it's primetime or not. I just go out there and try to play the best football I can each and every Sunday or each and every time we step on the field.
I will say this. His two losses, I think they were really the only two good teams they played. I think I can name Deshaun Watson's primetime games off the top of my head.
Really?
I know the two losses. I can name the two losses off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. New Orleans this year and the Chiefs when J.J. Watt got carted off and Whitney got hurt and all that on Sunday Night Football. Those are the two losses. I know he beat the Titans, the Bob McNair game where Lamar Miller ran for 99 yards. They beat the Dolphins on Thursday night with Brock Osweiler. You remember that one.
Yeah.
I don't know the rest, but I'm pretty good at naming these off the top of my head. They haven't really played very many, quote, good teams in primetime. The two
Can
good
I interest
teams
you
played,
in a nugget with regard to that?
I love nuggets.
From our
Can I get
friend,
some barbecue sauce?
Yes, from our
Don't
friends,
be stingy like McDonald's and hold out on me.
Our guy Omar over at the Houston Texans PR.
What's up, Omar?
Quarterback Deshaun Watson has appeared in 6 primetime regular season games. Texans are 4-2 in those games.
I just said that.
Outscored their opponents 170 to 137. He has a 121 passer rating and 19 total touchdowns. Last year, he was 3-0 with a 131.1 quarterback rating. So he, contrary to what he said, and he's saying all the right things, he's at his best in the bright light.
He's good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not the reason they lost to the Chiefs. The defense just completely fell apart.
Yeah.
And he's damn sure not the reason they lost to the Saints. So the two losses, you just look at those, chalk those down. But
yeah,
Brock Osweiler last year, I mean, who's not going to win that game?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Who's not going to win that one? That one was too easy. He threw another fumble almost, too, by the way, which would have been telling. Romeo Crennel, boy, he's got his work cut out for him. Depleted secondary, Colts team that likes to run the ball, Jacoby Brissett, 4 touchdown passes last time against you, T.Y. Hilton potentially on the field. Romeo Crennel says, don't give me that potential BS. T.Y. Hilton's going to be out there.
Yes, I mean, he's going to play. He's probably counting on it, and I'm not necessarily counting on it or looking forward to it, but you got to prepare for him to play because he'll show up.
Look.
He ain't buying no possum.
It was interesting. It was interesting that they're not all together buying in Indianapolis, where they're the closest. You know, Kevin Bowen was on and said, you know, he doesn't think that he'll play. Although
I think Kevin was playing possum.
Although there's some that cover the team that do think he's going to play.
You know the worst thing about T.Y. Hilton playing hurt?
He's going to be dragging himself.
Oh, they are going to have to stop the game for his dramatic ass probably like 14 times.
Yep.
I've asked Jonathan Joseph about this. I've asked former Texan cornerback Kareem Jackson about this.
Yep.
He is like a dramatic kid playing soccer.
He's
going to fall down, look like he's like Dwayne Wade. He's going to fall down, act like he's dying. The next thing you know, a swig of water, and he's out there running a 4-1-40.
I'm telling you, he's like he's trying to impress a girl in the stands about what kind of warrior he is. He makes a big reception. Gets up real slow, drags his ass off the field, then comes back and makes another one like he's 100%. Does that all the time.
Man, I hate it. I absolutely hate it, and I hate watching T.Y. Hilton play against the Texans, especially if the Texans' secondary is going to be banged up. Bill O'Brien asked about that yesterday. Texans head coach got jokes.
Yeah, Roby, Lonnie, Will Fuller, I think all of those guys have a chance. I can't tell you. I think the one thing I will be clear about with you is, and I'm not trying to dodge the injury questions, like I usually do. Amy always laughs. That's
pretty well attended.
But I think being a Thursday night game, these are all game time decisions. You know, these are things you're gonna probably work some guys out before the game before you make a decision. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of people at that press.
Replay that, man.
Golly,
why were so many people there?
I don't know. That was interesting.
Hey, let me hear that one more time.
Yeah, Roby, Lonnie, Will Fuller. I think all of those guys have a chance. I can't tell you. I think the one thing I will be clear about with you is, and I'm not trying to dodge the injury questions like I usually do.
Wow.
A studio audience.
Amy always laughs. That's good. But I think being a Thursday night game, these are all game time decisions. You know, these are things you're going to probably work some guys out before the game, before you make a decision. You know what I mean?
So here are Deshaun Watson's four wins, because 4-2, I think it needs to be kind of put in perspective.
Yeah.
The primetime wins.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien, by the way, pretty funny.
He's got jokes.
By the way, congrats to Amy. She won an award.
Yeah,
yesterday.
That was interesting and very impressive.
She won an award. Apparently, she got emotional during the speech.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
It's okay, Amy.
Yeah.
The more emotion, the better. The more tears,
yeah,
the better. So I would just
tell how much it meant.
I would put Visine in my eyes, even if I wasn't emotional about it. It adds to it. Haven't you seen Wedding Crashers? But these are the teams that Deshaun Watson has beaten in primetime and the teams that he's lost to in primetime.
Deshaun Watson. Okay.
Quarterback for the Texans. So he lost to the Kansas City Chiefs on that Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Remember when the helicopters followed JJ to the hospital?
Oh, God, I forgot about
that game. Remember that?
Yes.
So he lost in that one. The Saints this year, the season opener, mm-hmm. That was a heartbreaker. Yeah. He deserved better there. He beat the Bengals, mm-hmm. His first ever start. Remember after
they benched Savage? Yeah, that was the big run, right?
The big run.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Miami Dolphins with Brock Osweiler.
Mm. Who's not going to beat him?
Beat the Tennessee Titans, tapped the brakes off them last year.
Oh, yeah, that was a good win.
And then on a Saturday night, they beat the Jets last year. Close game.
Okay.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So, Jets, Titans, Dolphins, Bengals, line in the middle.
Right.
New Orleans Saints, Kansas City Chiefs.
That speaks to the level that we were just talking about, you know, with the Ravens, you know, getting that next step up in class.
College football rankings are out. LSU, number one. Ohio State, number two. Clemson, number three. Georgia,
mm-hmm.
number four. Alabama, number five. Oregon, number six. Utah, number seven. Penn State, number eight. And Oklahoma, number nine. Minnesota's number 10, but who cares? They're out of it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
For now, Georgia is number four.
What does that mean?
Just means for now they're number four.
You think they're going to lose to LSU in the SEC title game or something? What are you talking about? No, really, what are you talking about?
Hey, man.
Who they play this week?
Aggies going between the hedges this week.
Can the Aggies show up for one of these things?
Yeah, you're so dumb.
I'm serious. Can they show up for one of these big games? I'm serious, man. I've underestimated them.
The Aggies.
They have not shown up this year against good teams. This is fact. I mean, I want them to. I think they're good enough to, but they have not.
The Aggies, and I'm being completely honest, have a certain correlation with the Texans. They're clearly better than the majority of teams they face.
And I'm not saying they should.
They're only in the second year of Jimbo's, you know, career.
Fair.
But they're not the elite yet. That said, they lost by a possession to Auburn and a possession to Clemson.
But they were getting their ass kicked in both of those.
Beat the brakes off by Alabama.
And they lost by two possessions to Clemson, actually. They covered.
Yeah, that's right.
They covered. They lost by... And Auburn was beating them by three possessions late. They scored with like 2 minutes left to cut it to eight. I was talking to like some big Aggie boosters. Like they got to show up for one of these games.
Look, they have five games against elite teams.
Yeah,
Clemson, Alabama,
mm-hmm.
Auburn,
mm-hmm.
Georgia, mm-hmm. and LSU. Mm-hmm. They have to win one.
And
of them.
By the way, they were favored to beat Auburn. Where it goes without saying, yeah. They're a 5-point favorite to beat Auburn.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. But yeah. But they have to win one of those games in order to.
I mean, I don't know if they even have to do that. I'm just saying I want to see them show up. No, I think Georgia's a chance.
No, they're on track with Jimbo. Jimbo's got them.
No,
going.
Dude, they can lose all these games.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting here. I'm not questioning anything about it. They're in it. But I'm just saying.
They got to win one of those games to really prove. Not only are they on track, but they're maybe.
I don't even think he's got his guy yet. I don't think he has his quarterback. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, show up for one of these, A&M. I'm rooting for you.
I think Kellen Mond ended up having a really good year. He had a really bad game against Clemson, and people like yourself are thinking that he's not having a good year.
I think he's okay. I just don't think he's the guy. I think when you have Jimbo Fisher, you will see a quarterback. You will see a quarterback, and you'll say,
let me ask you something.
That's the guy.
Is Sam Ehlinger the guy?
No.
Is he good?
He's good.
He's real good?
He's good.
Let me introduce you.
His senior year, he'll be all right.
Sam Ehlinger has 2,900 yards passing and 27 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Kellen Mond has 2,435 yards passing, 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
You know the problem, though? I don't think they use Mond like they should.
Kellen Mond has 428 yards rushing. Kellen Mond has 400 yards rushing. Kellen Mond is
Ehlinger, yeah.
I mean, Ehlinger,
they're not running him as much like in design except on short yardage, but
he's got 35 yards less than Ehlinger rushing.
Yeah, because they don't I don't think that they run Mond as much as they should. I don't think that should be close. I think Mond should be running the rock more. I think zone read should be.
I think
zone read should be their game.
64 completions, 20.
So you're the first Aggie. You're the first Aggie that I know that has really just been really impressed with Kellen Mond this year.
No.
I didn't say that.
You gave me those stats. No, but you really should listen to what I'm saying.
Ellinger has not had that good of a season. No.
He's had a real good season.
He's had an okay season.
I think he's had a real good season. What I said that you twisted in like a pretzel is...
No, you put it out there and you wanted to interpret it, but then you kind of tiptoe away.
No. Again, you're twisting pretzels again. Let me tell you exactly...
How do you twist pretzels?
Yeah, let me tell you exactly what I said. I said, Kellen Mond actually has had a really good season. I didn't say he was great. I didn't say he was championship level. He's had a season that's extremely comparable to Sam Ellinger.
I don't think Sam's had a good year, though.
You don't? He might be. He's one of the best players in the Big 12, according to most people.
I don't think Sam has had a good year. I think Sam has had a disappointing year.
Mm.
And I think Kellen Mond is okay. Mm. I don't think he's terrible. I think he's okay. But I think Jimbo's going to get the guy, and you're gonna immediately say, John. Like, it's going to be a spring game or something like that, and it's going to happen. You're going to see this quarterback go out there, and you're going to say, who the F is that? And that's going to be the guy.
I may well. But I didn't say anything close to that a second ago that you twisted up like a pretzel.
No.
I said he's actually had a really good year. Those were my words.
I don't think Sam has.
And I think he has had a really good
year. You know
what?
I don't think Sam should play another snap this year. I think he should get ready for his senior year.
That's crazy.
I think he should pull a Holgorsen.
They can beat Baylor without him?
Pull a Holgorsen. Maybe. Maybe so. You know, when in doubt, Baylor. You know, that's the one thing we'll learn this Saturday. I'm not going to do this. I don't want to open this up. You know what? Screw it. We're going to learn Saturday at about 2:30. Things aren't as bad for Tom Herman as we think they are, and they're not as good for Matt Rhule. You can mark that, Figgy. You can go ahead and post that. John McClain, you can stick it too. We're going to learn that on Saturday. I don't know how you got me to do that, but I did it. Rockets in Denver tonight to face the Nuggets, 8 p.m. tip. Rockets 11-3, Denver 9-3. It's going to be a good one, John.
It is.
Over-under is about 223.
Mm-hmm. When you looked at the season earlier, before a couple months ago, you're thinking, well, let's see what happens with the Warriors. Let's see what happens with the Blazers. Neither one of those teams is that good.
Blazers are bad.
Yeah, but this is going to be a good matchup right here.
Here's Russell Westbrook earlier this week talking about minimizing James Harden's greatness.
I think that a lot of people like to normalize greatness when you see it over and over again, but it's not normal because there's nobody else that can do it. If it was normal, everybody would do it. It's amazing. I'm just here to be able to help them along the way.
Wow.
Wow. I think the Rockets right now are about James Harden. You've said it. You said it early on. You said when they acquired Russell Westbrook that this was going to be a great team to watch in the regular season. I'm so impressed. No. I'm so impressed with what they're doing right now.
But
how can you just start proclaiming anything at this point with this team?
I thought they'd be good in the regular season. I don't think much, you know?
I mean, you can't just like, oh, baby, Rockets.
You know who's
How many times have you done that?
Clippers are basically just treating this like they're the 10-time champs.
Yeah.
Kawhi's resting every other night. Lakers, good Lord. Yeah. Team's good, Figgy. Yeah. Team's good. Got to look out for them. Okay, Sean. I mean, I didn't know it was that sensitive of a topic. The worst apology you'll ever hear, courtesy of Mason Rudolph. And a look at the big game tomorrow night next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.